Bethany Hamilton is more than just an amazing pro surfer with an incredible testimony. She is also a mom, a wife, a Christian, and an advocate for women and girls competing fairly in sports. She is also a pro-life advocate. And so today she joins us to talk about her story, what the Lord has taught her throughout her life, and how he continues to use her testimony for the good of others. And we will also, of course, talk about the changes to Title IX, why she decided last year to speak up for the rights and for fairness for women and girls in surfing. And we'll talk about so much more too. This episode of Relatable is brought to you by our friends at Good Ranchers. Go to goodranchers.com, use code Allie at checkout. That's goodranchers.com, code Allie. Bethany Hamilton, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure. Yeah. Glad to be here, Allie.
Yeah, it's so nice to meet you. Okay, so many people out there have been following you, have been asking me for so long, can you please get Bethany on? Which I am so excited because I have been wanting to and hoping to and planning to have you on for a while. So praise God that it worked out. But for everyone who may not know your story, take us back to the beginning. When did you start surfing and what cultivated your love for that?
So I was born and raised in Kauai, Hawaii, and both my parents surfed and they're both God-fearing people, and they just had my brothers and I and threw us in the water at a young age, you know, probably on a surfboard before I could walk.
Yeah.
And I think in my like young childhood, I grew a passion for the ocean and riding waves, and I had a knack for it and also just a strong drive. And yeah, as I was getting older, I started competing. I'm very competitive, and it was just a really cool childhood, like just amazing parents. You know, my dad worked really hard, had like 2 to 3 jobs at a time. So we had a very simple childhood, but they gave me so much. They gave me so much time and they gave me my faith in God. They encouraged me so much in that area. And then they gave me surfing, which was just the dream playground. And so when I lost my arm, it was almost like I was ready because my mom had raised me in my faith. She would pray with me. She read the Bible to me at bedtime. We went to church, and they were just very active, I would say. And so when chaos hit, I was ready.
Yeah.
And while it wasn't the plan that I had in mind for my life, God allowed me to survive that day for a reason. And I very much so could have died, but I made it. And then from there, things just continued to get really interesting. Like, I didn't wake up in the hospital thinking like, wow, I'm going to surf with one arm. You know, I was more of like, oh my gosh, I lost my passion. Like the thing that was more than just a childhood sport. It's just
and
a passion.
Remind me how old you were?
I was 13 when I lost my arm.
Gosh, so young.
Yeah, so super young. And to give you a little context, I had finished second in the national titles that summer before, also with my competitive drive. But I was only 13 and that was 18 and under. So very promising.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know, compared to other sports, I feel like surfing, you can kind of pinpoint if someone's going to really succeed. Mm-hmm. Whereas like soccer or baseball, like there can be a lot of like really talented children, I would say, but you're not going to be like, oh yeah, my child's going to be the best, the next best. I mean, maybe the odd parent might think that, but with surfing, I feel like it's just a little different because now being a parent myself, I'm like, my parents really were all in, like almost too much. Mm-hmm. But I love that they were super supportive.
Would you say that surfing, I've never surfed before, so I don't know that much about it. Would you say, based on what you just said, that you can kind of tell like who is going to be really good from an early age, would you say it's more intuitive, like a more innate skill than maybe some other sports?
I would say it's a mix. There is innate ability. Like my 8-year-old son, he innately reads the ocean so well. Mm. Like he can kind of like see a wave coming from forever away and he's just in the spot.
That's so cool.
It's super natural. But it's also something you can work at and get better at. And nowadays, too, there's like wave pools. So there's some super talented surfers that have basically like gotten themselves to a professional level by spending a lot of time in the wave pools. And so, yeah, it's a mix of both, I would say. At the end of the day, hard work, perseverance, pushing yourself, and like having the natural talent as well.
Mm-hmm. So 13, you survive the attack, you wake up in the hospital, and you think, as you said, wow, my dream is over. You had this super promising career already by the time you were 13, and you're thinking, it's all done.
Yeah, so I wake up and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know what my life is going to look like. And I think like when chaos like that hits our life, you just like everything feels upside down, like the future feels unknown. And so that aspect was really hard. But then I had a friend come in and visit me. His name is Mike Coots. And I had a lot of family support and friends coming and encouraging me in so many amazing ways. But Mike Coots in particular, he had lost his leg to a shark and he had learned how to surf with one leg. And so he came in and he's like, hey, I think you can surf with one arm. I was practicing paddling out there this morning. And so he was my first like light bulb of like, okay, maybe I can surf. And then from there, I was just on a mission to get back in the water. And I think most people can't get past the whole shark thing. Like, they don't want to go back in the ocean after something like that happens.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You want to compare it to, say, driving in a car. Like, you're going to get back in your car and, like, still go to the grocery store for the most part. Maybe the odd one out of a million might really struggle and never want to get back in a car. But for me, like I said, surfing was more than just my childhood hobby. Like, right. I feel like it was a way of life and culture and art and sport.
You lived and breathed it.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, 21 days later, as soon as the doctor said I could get in the water, I was out there trying and going for it.
Yeah, and your parents were totally on board. No pun intended.
My mom was like a little apprehensive. My dad was like, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
And then I think once my mom saw me surfing, though, and she had that same love and passion for the ocean. So she came on board after a bit.
Yeah. And they just knew that it was part of who you were and that it would have been impossible for you probably to stay out of the water, or it felt like it would have been.
I think, too, I was exploring the unknown. I didn't know anyone with one arm, let alone a surfer with one arm. And same for my parents. And so we were, you know, just exploring what was possible. And I think it was hard to wrap your head around surfing with one arm for most people, like just popping up and catching waves and just the whole, it's one of the hardest sports in the world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just really cool though. That moment I popped up on my board and rode a wave all the way to the beach. It was just like a tiny little wave, like nothing like very special as far as the wave goes, but it still feels like one of the most beautiful waves of my life. I can just remember that emotion and tears of joy.
Yeah. All right, quick pause from that amazing conversation to tell you about a new episode that I have for Blaze TV Plus subscribers only. It is a Q&A on relationships. So you guys asked me some very juicy relationship questions. I had so much fun answering these, and this is going to be available at blazetv.com/Allie. Use code Allie, you'll get $20 off your subscription. You'll have access to this and all kinds of subscriber exclusive content. Go to blazetv.com/Allie, code Allie. Was it a pretty straight line from A to B as far as recovery and getting better surfing with one arm? Or were there ever moments after that where you just felt yourself getting frustrated or discouraged or even fearful of an attack like that happening again?
Yeah, so I would say it was a journey, of course, like any recovery. The physical journey was actually pretty straightforward and easy. But there were definitely days where I'd come in crying or I couldn't even make it out to the lineup because the waves were so intense and I just didn't have the speed or the power and like the duck diving abilities. So it took a while to regain my confidence in the ocean and adapt and figure out creative ways to do things differently. And so as time went on, it started to feel more natural and I just got used to it and I became better at adapting and figuring out Bethany's version of surfing and creativity out there and how I can do it differently. And I think outside of the water too is the same thing, like just trying to figure out how to do life. And there was a lot of frustrating moments though, a lot of tears and frustrations and some down days for sure. Mm-hmm. But I would say that's where like my faith in God really propelled me forward through like the hardship and just trusting that God had a plan for my life and knowing that even at 13, I was like, well, maybe the Lord will use my story. Yeah. And so I always had a heart for other people. Like ever since I was little, like just could not wait to go on a mission trip. I wanted to go and serve people. And so yeah, I think I started getting letters to once I started surfing again from people like, if you can surf with one arm, like I can overcome my hardship. Mm. And that as a 13-year-old was kind of weird, but also yeah, really cool and beautiful.
Yeah. And so is that how you kind of dealt with those moments that I'm sure that you had of why me? Why did this happen to me of all people? Is that how you kind of combated those temptations to have thoughts like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think my mindset as a 13-year-old inspires me to this day. Like, I don't feel like I'm like the same person today. Like, I mean, yes, I am. And like, I carry a lot of that. But I remember just waking up in the hospital and thinking, I'm so grateful to be alive. Like, I could have died. I knew very clearly that I could have died. And I just think having that gratitude propelled me forward, and focusing on what I could do propelled me forward instead of getting stuck in a rut of like, woe is me. Mm-hmm. I have felt that woe is me, and that's really hard to overcome. And, face in life. And all I can say is just trying to figure out what can you do? How can you move forward? What do you have to be grateful for instead of like thinking what if and woe is me? Because life's going to knock you down. And as my favorite Bible verse says, like in this world, you will have trouble. John 16:33. Mm-hmm. I have said these things to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I love that verse because it reminds us that we're going to have trouble. Like, God didn't say it's going to be all perfect and easy. Like, sin is a part of the world and we're going to have to face that, and it's going to jack things up along the way. Mm-hmm. But to have our hope in God and to know that he will be there for us through it all. Mm-hmm. And I think that throughout my life, like, no doubt that's been my sure and steady foundation to carry me on.
Yeah, it is a shift in thinking from I'm entitled to everything going well. I'm entitled to my dreams coming true exactly how I envision them. I'm entitled to reap the rewards of everything that I have worked for exactly like I want to reap them, going back to the promise that you just repeated, that actually what we can expect is trouble. What we can expect is trials. What we can expect is for things not to go our way, for things not to always just be a smooth road. And I love that you brought up that verse, because the comfort is not that, but it'll all work out in the end how you want it to. The comfort is, but take heart, Christ has already overcome the world. So it's in him.
And it's not about us and our abilities, but in his promise and his gift.
Right. So after this, you didn't just continue surfing and riding some little waves. You continued competing, right?
Yeah. So I went on to win a national title 2 years later. And then that kind of projected me towards a professional career. And so that was super fun. Like, I am just a surfer and mermaid at heart. And so that's my happy place and my element. Like, yeah, it was really fun to push myself and really like push female surfing. And so I had an awesome time. I wouldn't say my competitive career was as successful as I maybe could have been, but there was a lot of rad moments along the way. And I would say the highlight of my surfing career was probably creating my documentary Unstoppable, which we started to create that as a 10-minute short film, just me pushing it in the ocean. And then it kind of turned into a bigger project. Mm-hmm. But there is the 10-minute short film within the documentary capturing me pushing female surfing and pushing myself in big waves, little waves, competitive, progressive female surfing. And so it was just so fun to push myself. And I had a baby along the way. So I share like the entering into motherhood journey. And then we just bring our little guy along for the ride. He has more passport stamps in his passport than most humans, which is pretty cool for him. Yeah. And it was just such an amazing adventure. And with the support of my husband, of course, he was like, hey, you only have so much more time to like really push it with surfing. So let's just like kind of go all in the next few years and then we'll start a family. But the first little guy came a little earlier than planned. And then, but it was just an awesome adventure. And I loved every second of it. And then 4 kids later, I'm still surfing pretty world-class level. Like, you know, I can make a heat and still shine out there, but just kind of focusing on motherhood and having fun and getting my children to the beach. And
Well, I have lots of questions about motherhood and all of that, but I'm curious how you felt as a teenager when your story became basically international news, because I knew who you were when I was, you know, when I was young, when I was a teenager, everyone knew what had happened to you and even your testimony of faith. And I grew up in the evangelical world. And so we love those testimonies, I think, for great reason. And so I knew your story and your name and have for a long time. What did you think about that when it became this, you know, the testimony that was heard around the world?
It was crazy because that was right when social media was just kind of barely getting off the ground. It might have been MySpace days or like early Facebook days, but my story went viral without the social media. It was crazy, like literally worldwide. And I actually like hated it. Like I hated being in the public eye. I was like more reserved, like just happy to be surfing, like just wanted to be with my friends, you know, teenager vibes. But like a good teenager vibe too, though. Like we were just rambling and adventuring in nature. So that was super hard for me. But I also had that like heart to encourage and inspire others. So I kind of like fought the nature to want to like hide and was still willing to share my story. And I think my mom and dad kind of pushed me along too, you know. But they were also awesome in the way that they did it, I would say. Though they also probably didn't fully comprehend what was going on. But I remember we went to write my book, Soul Surfer. I was like, okay, let's do this. Literally, my teenage brain was like, I'm going to write this book so I'd never have to tell my story again. So we write the book. I would sit with the pastor friend who's an author, Rick Bunchu. He would sit with me for like 10 minutes and then I'm like, I'm done. Like 10 minutes at a time. So we like slowly inched along and wrote this book. and then it came out and I didn't realize I had to do like a media tour. So they like, I would go to New York City. I'm doing all these interviews. I hated interviews. Yeah. It was just not my forte.
Yeah.
But God was doing his thing and sharing my story and doing it for a good reason. And it was just so cool to hear so many people from so many different walks of life from all over the world, just so inspired by my story. And like just so many children would pick up Soul Surfer and read that when they had never read a book before, or just people going through immense hardship and remembering that they can keep going. And so it's just so amazing to see how even that dysfunctional teenager that wanted nothing to do with being in front of a camera or doing any sort of interviews or writing any sort of books. Still, God still worked through her.
God used that, totally. Okay, our first sponsor for the day is 7 Weeks Coffee. I love this company so much. The reason they're called 7 Weeks Coffee is because at 7 weeks gestation, that little baby inside the womb is the size of a coffee bean. So they started 7 Weeks Coffee to support pregnancy centers, pro-life organizations across the country that are providing education, resources, meeting material and spiritual needs of pregnant moms in crisis, as well as their families. They have already raised over $325,000 for pro-life institutions across the country. That's over 800 pro-life organizations. They've provided over 3,200 ultrasounds. Ultrasounds make it so much more likely that that woman is going to choose life for her baby. Subscribe right now to their Heartbeat Club. You'll get your coffee at your front door every month, and you'll help save a life just by getting coffee from a company that promotes godly pro-life values. Go to 7weekscoffee.com, use code Allie for 10% off your order. 7weekscoffee.com, code Allie. How'd you meet your husband?
So Adam and I, he finished college, he had a teaching degree, and then he ended up out in Hawaii to help a friend start a Young Life chapter. He was like, oh, I'm done with college, like a little free season. And then our friends just loved him so much, they wanted to keep him out there and find him a wife. And they set us up, and then we kind of hit it off pretty quick. He just gave me a call, and we met up at the beach. And we jumped off a cliff into the ocean. Oh, and he's from Kansas. He's a ball guy, not an ocean guy.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yes.
Like a lot of like muscle heads from the gyms or like ball guys who are like super athletic, like you get them in the ocean and they're just kind of like barely making it.
Floundering. Yeah.
So it was so funny because I was like just such a mermaid and we're like really different backgrounds, but also like similar in upbringing. And yeah, we hit it off and kind of went from there, got married about a year later. And
yeah. How long have y'all been married now?
10 years.
Ten years.
Okay. 4 babies.
Yeah.
And doing life together. He helps kind of like keep everything going. And we just kind of teamwork all aspects of life.
Yes.
So.
Okay. How do you surf while pregnant?
Yeah. So how I like to say, for me, surfing is kind of like walking. Like, you know, you're going to walk when you're pregnant. And for me, I kind of just surf while I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, I would say towards once I start getting a bit bigger, I put more weight up on my upper chest.
Got it.
And kind of like perch. And then there's certain types of waves that are better for surfing when I'm pregnant. So I pick my waves a little more strategically.
Yes.
And I don't know. I surfed till 7 months with my first couple.
Yeah.
And then 6.5 months with my second two.
Okay.
So, and there was never like a moment of like worry for baby.
Yeah.
And in Hawaii too, I will say a lot of women surf till literally the day they're giving birth. Like it's a cultural thing.
Part of what they do.
So then you get on social media and you like post stuff like that and people are like, what are you doing? Like, be careful.
I'm like,
of course, be careful. Like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, thanks for reiterating what we all already know.
Yeah. Women can do a lot more just in general while pregnant than people think, especially like for, I had a friend who was a CrossFitter and she was really into CrossFit. And then when she got pregnant, she continued to do CrossFit like all through her pregnancy. And of course, like you said, there are precautions that you take, modifications and things like that. But pregnancy isn't like a disease that you necessarily have to stop doing everything for.
And I will say there was moments in certain pregnancies where I had to slow down and ease up. Like I had pubic symphysis disorder at one point and had to do some rehabilitation after. Mm-hmm. And so like there is some element of like I do respect like what the body is going through. Like I think there is an element like I personally am not going to go on a run when I'm 8-9 months pregnant. Like I think for me, it just wouldn't be good. I try to be really in tune with what's going on. But surfing is actually more gentle than you'd think. And so, and like also someone who runs all the time, like maybe their body's more used to that and can handle it. Though I think there is something to be said about the relaxing going through the body. I'm really into health, so I do dive deep on a lot of this stuff and try to problem solve any issues I might be having. So there is an element of like your body is going through a lot of transitions. So I kind of like try to balance that out. And with my fourth baby, I was way less active, but I feel like my recovery was amazing after. Yeah. So it's just a balancing act. And I do think listening to your body and just paying attention. But yeah, being a surfer, like to me, it's like walking on the sidewalk. So
yeah,
just kind of get out
there
and do it.
It didn't feel like a workout to you. Yeah. I am like major waddler in pregnancy. Yeah. Like after halfway, I personally can't imagine running.
Yeah.
Even though I've never surfed, and surfing would be like, it would be probably really, really hard for me. But I can imagine if I did have surfing skills, that being easier while pregnant than running. Because run, like you said, the relaxing, it just makes every, like your hips and your pelvis are so different. I can't imagine being able to run without waddling. But you do see the women who are, you know, they're track stars and that's just what they do. Yes. It's like surfing for you. Like they can do it. I can't imagine.
Personally. I'm curious too, though, is because you do see a lot of these stories. Like I want to hear the ins and outs. Like was there any issues that 5-10 years following?
Yeah.
Like me, I think I maybe pushed it a little too much. And so I've had to do some rehabilitation at times, like with the pelvic floor. And, but for the most part, I would say I took really good care of my body. I always focus on alignment because of having one arm. And so I can nerd out on that. I probably won't do that with you today, Allie.
That's okay. You can. We like talking about pregnancy and birth and all those things a lot. So you're welcome to.
Thanks.
So, okay, so you met your husband about, and y'all, you said that you dated like a year or so.
Yeah, it was just over a year. Mm-hmm. We were met in May and then married the next August, but I was traveling a lot in between that time. So it felt like, you know, probably like 9 months, but
yeah. And then now you have 4 kids and your youngest is how old?
My youngest, as of today, she's 10 months, we have 3 boys. My oldest is 8, and it's awesome.
You have 3 boys and a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's amazing. And they help do they help take care of their sister and protect their sister?
Yeah, my boys are so sweet. It's so beautiful to see their, like, brotherly love. And I look at it as paternal instinct as well. Like, one day, hopefully, God willing, mama can have some grandchildren.
But
it's been really fun. I definitely think having, like, my fourth was definitely the easiest because I had the helpers.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, they're there to help support. You know, if Alea's fussing in the car while we're driving, I'm like, hand her toys, give her snacks,
and they can
make
do
her
that.
Smile.
Yeah.
And they're super helpful.
Yeah. How soon do you get your babies on the water?
Alea, I haven't gotten her on a surfboard or in the ocean even that much. It's just been, life's been kind of hectic. Yeah. And in the winter, it gets more blustery and kind of just like less desirable. But this summer, we'll get out there and get her in like little splash pools along the ocean. And
just as soon as possible, you kind of get them like used to the water.
Yes. But like my 3-year-old, he doesn't really surf, but he'll surf on daddy's shoulders. So dad will take him out and he'll ride on his shoulders.
That's
or
amazing.
They like tandeming. My 6-year-old loves tandeming and boogie boarding.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Okay, y'all, it is time for me to tell you about Good Ranchers. So I don't have to inform you about inflation. You're feeling it. I know we're feeling it too. Every time you go into the grocery store, it seems like produce, especially the healthy kind, is more expensive than it was the week before. And this has been particularly true for meat. And that is why this deal that Good Ranchers has going on right now, this price lock guarantee, is so incredible. So if you subscribe, you get that box of all American meat to your front door every month. That's Kraft beef, Better Than Organic chicken, seafood, whatever you want. Your price is locked in until 2026. So at least for your meat products, when you buy them from Good Ranchers, you don't have to worry about feeling the effects of inflation. That can make a huge difference for your family. We love Good Ranchers in our house. We eat it almost every single day. It's just amazing. Go to goodranchers.com. Use code Allie for 10% off your subscription. You'll get free express shipping as well as that price lock guarantee. Goodranchers.com, code Allie. Let's talk a little bit about a subject that you've started speaking up about in the past couple of years that I'm sure that you got a lot of support for on social media, and then a lot of detractors, of course, because it can be a polarizing subject, and that is the protection of women's sports. And my audience doesn't need an explanation for that. We've seen changes with Title IX. Of course, this is something that unfortunately has been pushed for quite a few years now, but allowing males to compete against women in the name of accepting gender identity. You decided to speak out about this. And so I want to hear why you decided to make a stand, because you could have decided not to.
Yes. So it was super interesting. The World Surf League, I was competing in a women's pipe event that was just before the World Surf League, which is like kind of like our main competitive tour. And they emailed the entire tour, hey, like, this is a new rule, just giving you a heads up. So, and the new rule was they were allowing males to compete against females. And nobody got any precursor or pre-warning. It was just in an email, boom. And I had heard whispers, and I told a couple of the girls that were on the main tour, and I was like, hey, did you hear about this? Like, I'm hearing whispers, like, this is crazy. And they're like, no way it's going to happen, like kind of doubting.
And they said the new rule was, did they say transgender women or did they just say it's going to be co-ed?
I don't remember the exact wording, but basically males could not compete in the female division, trans males.
Got it.
And so I was just like, oh my goodness, this is horrible. Like, I've seen what's going on in other sports, and I just knew that my, like, first of all, I very much so against that. And so, you know, I kind of hold to my values and I stand firm with what I believe and try not, you know, I don't really deviate much, you know, in my life. I guess that sounds weird. I am very, like, kind of like more black and white, I guess.
Yeah.
But what really upset me about what was going on was the World Surf League in January, prior to telling the girls what was going to go on and the guys, they had all the athletes sign no disparaging agreement. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot say anything against the World Surf League. And so here you have all the girls on tour. I would say at least 70% of them for sure were against it. And they've all signed a non-disparaging agreement. You'll get kicked off and you'll be fined if you speak out.
Wow.
And so I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, none of the girls, you know, they could have spoke out. They make enough money to receive the fine, but they would be throwing their careers in the trash. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of them decided not to speak out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was really having conversations with them, but, you know, you can just go on social media and find out real quick. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided it was my time to shine.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Not very excited about it, though, because I knew it was just going to be gnarly out there. And my approach was very much just asking questions. I didn't even state my opinion in the public. I just asked a bunch of questions, like, because in the rule it talked about, you know, must be on a hormone replacement for like 9 or 12 months and must reach a certain number on the hormone levels. See, even still to this day, I can barely even talk about it in like a political fashion. Like, I'm not very political. I just think of it from more of like an everyday Joe perspective. Yeah. So still, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we're not just a hormone level here. And Yeah. So yeah, it was crazy, but I'm really happy I did it. Like I just, and that was before I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. But I was like, if I ever have a daughter and I don't stand up for her and like somehow she's one day competing and a super talent in surfing or whatever sport she might choose, like I want her to have the opportunity to win a world title without competing against males.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I had my daughter, I was like, oh my gosh, this is emotional. Like yes. Thinking about like her future and all the young girls that are up and comers and just thinking, you know, as of now, there haven't been any males competing on the main world surf league that I know of. There was one male that won a men's event and then he went and won the women's event like a year or two later. And so that was just crazy to me that people are accepting that. I'm like, this doesn't really equal up to me to have someone compete in the men's, win, and then compete in the women's and win. And everyone's like just whispers and chip chips. But I would say people out of the woodworks were thanking me. Like, I would say the majority of people are in agreement with my viewpoints or with me standing up against it. I would say I am pretty disappointed that not more women spoke up. Like none of the former world title women spoke up. Women who have had amazing opportunities to compete in an equal playing field. So that was super disappointing. And none of the men really spoke up either. I'm like, where's the men at? Just because it's not your issue, it is in a sense, yeah. Especially if you guys have daughters someday, right. Or something. So that to me was pretty disappointing as well.
All right. Jace Medical has an incredible service. It's really unique. If you'd rather be safe than sorry when it comes to ensuring that you've got the medication that you need when you need it, then you need Jace Medical. Jace Medical takes you through a confidential telemedicine process and gets you a year-long stash of either the prescriptions that you and your family rely on a daily basis and or common medications or common antibiotics, rather, for the most common infections. And so hopefully you'll never need to tap into this year supply, but if you need to, you have it. And like I said, it's just better to be safe than sorry when it comes to all the supply chain issues and all of that that we have going on. So go to jacemedical.com. Use code Allie for a discount at checkout. That's jacemedical.com, code Allie. And so you said you're not going to compete.
So I said I'm not competing in any World Surf League events. I did cheat a little because I surfed in this one event that was like sanctioned World Surf League. But the only reason why they sanctioned it was because they wanted to have the World Tour surfers be able to be a part of the event. But I checked in advance to see if any guys were going to be in the girls division and there weren't. And so I was like, I'm going to bend my own rules for this one because it was at Pipeline 2, which is just a world renowned wave. And it's really hard to have a moment out there without any other surfers. But, and the company who puts on that event, they didn't even want the World Surf League a part of it. They just did the sanctioning so they could have a few of the athletes from there into their event.
Okay. And so did they respond to you at the time? Because this was February of last year, right?
Yeah, February last year. I don't think I ever got a response. I think I just got silencing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this part, but so fast forward a little bit, they do this special event where all the athletes can put a woman who they admire on their jersey, so their last name on their jersey. And then they can like give kudos to that if in their post interviews if they win their heats. And I think there was like a large number of athletes. I mean, maybe not large, maybe at least five or more athletes who wanted Bethany on their jersey. They're applauding me. They're like, she is, you know, I don't know what they're saying about me, but anyway, the World Surf League did not allow them to have Bethany on their jersey. They just either put some name, they just changed the name for them, or they asked them for another name. Goodness. I'm not even sure all the details. I didn't talk firsthand. I'm not really one to like go and like, you know, dig out the juicy details. Like, I just do my thing and I live my life and I move on. And so, but that was just like embarrassing to me for the World Surf League to silence me. And then this year they didn't even do that jersey O'Day. So
probably
that was interesting.
Because they were afraid that more people would.
Yeah, they got a
there.
Lot of backlash and whatnot, I think. Yeah. I think there was, I mean, I don't know how much backlash. I saw a little bit of backlash online. Yeah. But
probably
I'm literally one of the most, I'm probably the most world renowned female surfer ever known in all of history, and maybe the most renowned surfer in all of history. And the World Surf League was like, nope. Not having her on your jersey.
Wow. Oh, my
goodness. So, whatever. I just laugh about it. You know, you can't get too upset about all this political drama. And, like, well, I think we do need to be upset to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But, like, don't let it, like, eat away at your life. Like, I feel like I had a learning season where things were eating away at me. And I'm like, I don't want to live my life with that, like, just being annoyed with the world around me. Like, I just want to be like a happy mom and a happy wife and like a good friend to the people around me and like a good example to those around me. And so
it's definitely a balance because on the one hand, you see things like the changes to Title IX and like as a mom of daughters, there's a lot of people who are mothers with daughters, but sons too, because it affects everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, of course you're upset about this. And of course you're thinking about the future and you're like, well, like you have to think, will girls even have girl sports or will it just be basically you've got boy sports and then you've got co-ed sports. You've got boys bathrooms and then you have co-ed bathrooms, boys locker rooms, co-ed locker rooms. And the same thing with prisons, with rape shelters, with domestic abuse shelters.
Oh my goodness.
Like all of these places where vulnerable women or girls are being forced to be with men and boys and they're put in danger. And so I think there is a level of frustration and anger and angst that someone should have because it motivates them, like it motivated you to say something.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. It can't dominate your whole life because, frankly, there's not something that we can do about it every second of every day. And most of our day is filled with the mundane, quote unquote, of being a mom and being a friend and being a church member and being a wife. And all those things matter too.
Yeah.
And they can't just be shrouded by our frustration and anger. So there is such a balance. I agree.
Yeah. It's like the best mundane ever too. And
totally.
I really feel like if you are stressing out about everything going on in the world all the time, it affects the most beautiful God-given gifts and roles that you've been given. And so for me, like, I just try to find that balance of like, I stand where I stand, and then I try not to like let it eat away at me, but I'm also not gonna just sit on the sidelines.
Stand by.
And
right. All right, last sponsor for the day is Birch Gold. So we talk a lot about just the craziness, chaos of our times. We just don't know how to predict the future. And so you want to protect your savings as much as you can. One way to do that is to diversify into gold. So you can convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. If you're like, okay, this sounds good, but I really need to learn more about this before making this decision, then go ahead, just text Allie to 989-898. You'll get a free info kit from Birch Gold. Text Allie to 989-898 to get that free no obligation info kit from Birch Gold. Allie to 989-898.
I feel like too, a lot of like, it's just such an interesting thing because I feel like if women just said no, like, this wouldn't be an issue. Like if all the female surfers, if the 70% that disagreed with that, if they all said no, then the World Surf League would not have an option but to disregard the rule.
Yeah.
I mean, they could try to disregard it and see what happens. I mean, there are some other girls that maybe would qualify and like make a new tour, but I feel like if 70% of the women just said no, like it literally wouldn't be an issue. And so that's also kind of frustrating to see.
What do you say to people who say, well, why does it really matter in surfing? You know, someone could say, I could see how it matters in a sport where teams are interacting, like contact sports, but how does it really make a difference, male, female, in surfing?
Yeah, I mean, the strength of men in general is just substantially stronger. Like, for example, my husband, he's 2 years older than me, but he's quite a bit bigger than me. I literally work out probably for a while. I worked out way more than him, especially when I was like training a lot for surfing. And there's just no way I could like keep up with his strength levels. Like, it's just not humanly possible. And I know there's some women that like get crazy nuts and like push it with weightlifting and like in CrossFit. Like, you see these like beastly women. I don't know what other word to use, but like they're just super strong and they're incredible and they're like lifting. I don't know if it's all natural or what, but like you see these women doing these crazy things. But in surfing, there is quite a big gap. Like, there's a lot of women absolutely shredding, absolutely ripping. But for example, big wave surfing, men just paddle way faster and way stronger. Yeah, there's the odd girl, but like, if you're going to be put into like a speed race, like men are just way faster and way stronger. And so you get into a big wave situation and you have men and women competing against each other. For example, there's a Eddie Aikau. It's the biggest, one of the most respectable big wave events in Hawaii, in memory of Eddie Aikau, who is just an incredible Hawaiian surfer who dedicated his life to the people around him, to his culture, and he died trying to save people. And he was the first Hawaiian Olympian. But they had this event and they just put a girl in each heat to make it like fair, because Hawaii has some rules that if you do a men's event, you have to have a women's opportunity as well. But I'm like, the girls aren't making heats. Like, they're getting smoked by the guys. Like, it's just not... we're just not probably ever going to fully bridge that gap. Yeah. And while I think it's actually really fun to try to bridge that gap, and like, you have some of these up and coming girl shredders that are doing like crazy airs and pushing it in big wave surfing. But the truth is, I don't see that gap fully being bridged. Yeah. And there's just the strength difference in particular is just, it's different. Yeah. And it's like the bone structure too is different. And so there's elements of like the female body, and me personally, like having bared children, like I just feel the difference. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure it's just like, you know, almost any other sport, the fact that their hearts are bigger, they've got more muscle mass, they've got greater lung capacity. And I didn't even think about just like the speed of paddling. But of course, I mean, I don't know all of the ins and outs of surfing, but that makes sense. If you're faster and have longer arms, it's going to give you an advantage.
And then I often think about when I was a little girl, I would compete in all the boys divisions because I wanted to like push myself and try to beat the boys. But then once they hit
puberty,
things change. Like, the guys that I was beating when I was little, I'm not beating now. Like, they're surfing quite a bit better than me, and I'm still inspired by them, and I'm still like pushed by them in my own way. Like, I love, like, I think most of the best female surfers are watching the guys to glean off of inspiration, you know?
And that's, of course, that's why Title IX has existed, because especially in puberty when boys' testosterone skyrockets and women's don't, that's what makes all the difference. And that's really irreversible. And, you know, like the questions that you asked in your original Instagram post, like, are women really just levels of hormones? Of course we're not, because even a man who gets cross-sex hormones and gets estrogen, he still went through male puberty, period. And so he's got all the advantages of that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's that one trans guy, Caitlyn Jenner's. Is it Caitlyn? or the Jenners.
He was the runner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, I've heard rumors that he or they or whatever, they are just as strong. And even though he's been on hormone, like, yeah, he's super duper strong.
Leah Thomas, super duper fast.
It's weird that this is even a conversation. That's where I always end up. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
But I mean, it's, you know, it's like throughout history, there's always been that 2 + 2 = 5 question that tyrants want to be able to control your thoughts and detach you from reality. I think this is the question of the time. But there's also, I mean, there's other issues too. I think of the denial of morality and reality and abortion, like denying that it's a baby inside the womb and that it's a human being with value. And that's also something that you have advocated for on behalf of the dignity of babies, right?
Yeah, I'm so honored to have partnered with EveryLife. I love what the company is doing. Not only are they creating great diapers, but they're fighting for life. They're the only pro-life or life-affirming diaper brand on the market, which is so weird to me.
So weird.
Or that it's I know of,
awesome,
at least, you know?
But it's like, why? But it's so true. A lot of these big diaper companies, they advocate for killing their future customers. You would think that they would all be pro-life, but they're really not.
Yeah, and I think when you think of pro-choice or pro-abortion, the movement, to me, it's founded with selfishness. Like, it's just all about the woman and what she wants versus, like, acknowledging that there's a human life. I finally just watched this movie. What was it called? Unplanned.
Yeah, so good.
It was really great. It was a little corny for me, I'll be honest. But like some of the points hit in the film are just pretty heart-wrenching. And I don't know, now being a mom too and like feeling my baby wiggling in me at like 13 weeks, 14 weeks, it's just hard to deny that. And I just think that society has normalized convenience and they just don't want to be a mom or dad. And so they'll just kill the baby. And I just want to inspire our next generation that, to me, motherhood's the greatest gift I've ever been given. And I'd like to think that if I was in a worst case scenario and happened to conceive a baby, you know, I don't need to divulge what the worst case scenarios are, but I hope and pray that I would choose life and that I would allow that beautiful baby to enter into the world. And I would hope, you know, I have a friend who she's a single mom and she's one of the most inspiring moms I know. Like every conversation I have with her inspires me to be a better mom. And it hasn't been easy for her, but she's rocked it and her son is doing amazing. And so, yeah, I just think it needs to be more of an open conversation too for our young people to hear, because our young people are constantly being told like pro-choice, like kill your baby, like it's fine, like it's not that big of a deal. But there are a lot of repercussions that come with it. On top of being guilty, you're killing a human life. And like God calls us to not kill. And so to me, that alone is like the greatest reason. Just thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, thou shalt not murder. Definitely. And I mean, organizations like EveryLife and pro-life pregnancy centers, which I've visited so many and talked to so many. I mean, they're doing amazing work. Like those desperate situations that you were referencing are real. Of course, there are moms in crisis, moms in abuse situations, yes, moms in poverty, all kinds of situations in which a woman might get pregnant and say like, I just can't do this right now. Yeah. And of course, Planned Parenthood is going to say, sure, just pay us your $800 or however much and we'll kill your baby. You'll never regret it. It'll never be a problem. But it's not true. It's a lie. They never show them the truth of what an abortion is or what is happening inside their womb. But these pro-life pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations truly are just like the hands and feet of Jesus in the most non-judgmental, loving, and embracing way. They take these women in. They not only share the gospel with them, but they provide them with so many resources, help, material needs. They help connect them to adoptive families if they want to put their child up for adoption. And so, like, there are ways for anyone out there who's like, well, I don't want to be pro-life because, or I don't want to vote pro-life or whatever it is because these moms are in desperate situations. Well, be a part of the solution rather than just talking about the problem, because yeah. there are a lot of institutions already working to serve these women. And we can be a part of, like, that life-saving effort. We don't just have to advocate for killing babies because that's the easier thing to do.
I just did a speaking event for the organization Save the Storks.
Yeah.
And great. I love what they're doing because they're trying to create, or they're buying and making mobile pregnancy crisis trucks or vans. So they're going to areas where they know it's a crisis mm-hmm. area, and mm-hmm. they're coming alongside of the women and supporting them to just have the full scope. What's it called? The full... Not scope, but...
Like, are you talking about prenatal care?
Yeah, or to know, have all the knowledge of what's actually going on yes. if you abort your baby right. and the full array of your options, right. so to say. But they're even helping the women, like, find jobs and yes. figure out a place to live. Like, they're going the extra mile. They're really coming alongside of these women and supporting them, and sometimes the fathers, if the father's a part mm-hmm. of the situation. And I think of adoption a lot, and I think it's just so beautiful. And there's so many couples that are having a hard time conceiving now. And so I feel like that's an area where we could, like, kind of dig into and figure out a better way of doing it. Because it seems like every couple I've talked to who adopts, it's a really hard process. So yeah. I almost feel like maybe that's an area we tackle as a nation. Whoever's out there who's a mover and shaker and has nothing to do, maybe this can be your thing. But yeah, there's options, and I just think saving life is so important and our God-given duty, to put human life at the utmost value.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you so much just for your courage and sharing your story. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Lord has given you that courage and given you that strength, but even as you've just, like, the different stages of your life have evolved, and now you're a mom still surfing, but you are, I don't know, embodying, like, a new kind of strength and courage with every stage that you're in. And I just appreciate it as Thanks. A woman. And I look up to you, and I know I speak for so many in my audience when I say that. So I just appreciate you so much. Keep standing up for these things that matter, because all of us appreciate when someone with a platform uses their voice.
Thanks, Sally. Glad to be here.